Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Let's hear a shout of praise. We're excited to be in the house. Awesome. Turn to somebody next to you, give them a little gentle pinch and say, wake up. We're in the house of God this morning. You have full access to the throne. How many of you are unwilling to leave without touching Christ today, without being changed and transformed? You're unwilling to leave without getting everything you came for. This is your time, your moment. This day is your day, and only in the presence of God can all those things be added to you. Glorious Heavenly Father, we submit this time to you. It is our sacrifice, but not just that we are giving up something, but we have so much to gain from being in your presence. Father, we thank you for supernatural healing. We thank you for breakthrough. Father, we thank you for increase. We thank you for multiplication. For every need that we have, you always supply. And we give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Are you ready to praise Jesus this morning? All right. Well, we're ready up here. We got it? There we go. Joy today. We just want to thank you for this morning, for being so good to us. No matter what the circumstances are, God, you are still good. You've still been good to us. Come on, thank him. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. Come on, you've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord,
for saving me.
Yes, sing it out.
My soul cries hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries.
Father, we thank you, God, because you alone deserve our praise today, God. You alone are holy, God, and you are the only one who we will sing our praises to.
My hallelujah belongs to you. Hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve.
Jesus, what an honor it is to be standing in your presence, Father. I just pray right now you move in this place, Jesus. Don't just fill this sanctuary, but fill this sanctuary, Father. Let your glory fall in this place, Jesus. Have your way.
This next song is actually one of my favorite worship songs that's ever been written. It's a little older, so some of those who are around my age may not know it. Some of those who are a little older than I, this may, you know, be right up your alley. But I just want to encourage you guys to worship no matter what, because worship songs, no matter how old they are still worship songs, and they still bring glory to God. So I want you to just sing the parts you know and worship through the rest, and we'll see how far we get.
Every hand lifted in this room today. we're in the house of a great God. No, 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 no. We're in the house of a great God. Jesus. Jesus. How great you are. How wonderful you are. You're our Abba Father. Daddy, we love you. Daddy, we love you. We thank you for being here with us. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the power, the anointing, that tangible anointing. I don't know any other way to explain this, but I'm just going to call it out. There's an actual spirit of depression that's come upon people. And right now, if you have felt like you have been out, like you're not thinking right, you're depressed, you have no hope, there's nothing left there, I don't care what it is. You don't have to label it, but I believe there's a spirit of depression that needs to be broken off this morning. Raise your hands up if you've been dealing with depression, you've been dealing with defeat, you've been dealing with the thoughts and imaginations of like that you mean nothing. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command you, depression, you spirit of depression, I command you to loosen them right now in Jesus' name. I speak right now, command you to get off from them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And right now, I loosen a spirit of peace in their spirit. I loosen right now a spirit of joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shobateke anama. And in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, every demon must flee at the name of Jesus. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I speak that right now in this room, the Prince of Peace, in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. There's victory in the name. There's freedom in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's healing in the name. There's freedom in the name. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands up. You see, Jesus is here. When Jesus is here, you surrender. Jesus, break us, Lord. Humble us, Lord. Father, we need to receive from you, Lord God, what you have for us that's already in heaven. You said, Lord God, that you want to bring heaven here on earth. Father, right now we are in your presence, where there's fullness of joy. There is freedom. There's liberty. There's life. Jesus. Can we sing that again? How great he is. Because he is great. He is great.
My Savior, Jesus. God, to thee. How great thou art.
Come on, come on, come on.
How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
You're worthy.
How great thou art. How great.
how great you are. Father, this morning, God, we come into your house, Lord, to receive what you have for us. And we know that the word that's being spoken is coming straight from the throne room of heaven. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, we'd open up our hearts, we'd open up our minds and our spirits to receive what you have for us, God. That, Jesus, we're not going to walk out the same way we came in. That, Lord God, Father, when we walk out, we're going to be renewed, revived, revitalized, and refreshed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Isn't he good? Isn't God good? No. God is great. God is great. Hallelujah. Listen, on your way back to your seats, make sure you give a handshake to somebody that you don't know. Get out of your seats. Get uncomfortable. Go meet somebody you don't know.
To settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
If the people of God started handling money God's ways. You work too hard hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey guys, listen, we save souls here, but we also save lives. So we want to let you know about the next blood drive that will be held by the Red Cross right here at His Tabernacle, August 10th from 2 until 6 p.m. You can email Pastor Chad at PastorChad@HisTabernacle.com, or you can arrive and show up and give your blood. Again, August 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. right here.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at Aaron@HisTabernacle.com.
Hey everyone, next Sunday, morning services and a special 6 p.m. service, John Avanzini is going to be here in Horse of Heads, New York, teaching us with amazing revelations from the Lord. He loved you guys so much, our congregation. He asked to come back. I hope to see you there.
We want to grow our worship family choir huge this year. And if you love to sing and just be in the presence of God, I want you to email me at worship@HisTabernacle.com. We create an amazing, loving family environment. We enjoy music together and we just have fun. So every other Monday night at 6:30, we get together to be in the presence of God and prep the atmosphere for our Sunday morning services. If you're interested, again, please email me at worship@HisTabernacle.com.
Well, good morning, family. It is such a good day to be in God's house, and I'm so excited we get to be here together. The things that He has for us today are awesome. So you are in the right place, just in case you were wondering. You are in the right place. And if it is your first time with us today, you came, you might be gripping your seat, you're not too sure what you're in for, I promise it's gonna be good. So we just wanna welcome you. If you have not yet received a guest packet when you walked in, would you just raise your hand? We have a couple people that wanna get that to you. We just wanna love on you. You will see in your guest packet is information, but if right after service, if you go out the back doors and then out through the next doors, there is a tent. It's hard to miss. We want you to come. We have cookies, we have donuts, we have fruit. We want to meet with you, love on you, and let you know what we are all about. And so if you are watching via live stream, we want to welcome you. We love you. You are so part of our family. And so thank you for joining in with us today. I just have a couple of announcements. I feel like I have more than usual, so I'm gonna do my best to get through this. We have next steps. Everybody say next steps. Rock Solid Faith is happening every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. That is three times in a week. You can be part of what God is doing in this house. It is so important that we go to another level in our learning of Him. And so Rock Solid Faith is just for you, and it's going to be awesome. Then we have groups. How many of you know that you were never meant to do life alone? God didn't create you to do life alone. And so we have got groups going on, and you are invited. Come join us. I think we have a slide. We're going to show you. We want to celebrate the mom group today. Moms are awesome. I think moms are great. And so we have a group. If you're a mom, we have a group for you. If you're a young adult, I have a group for you. So we would love to have you. One last thing before I get to the best announcement of all is Remnant Bible Institute is starting to pick up steam, and it's getting ready to start the next trimester. So if you're interested in joining Bible school, I just want to encourage you. Maybe you say, I don't have the time to come every day. We have online classes. You can never, ever, ever learn too much about what the Word has to say. So contact Pastor Obi. He has more information for you. But last and never, ever the least, we have Awaken Monthly happening tonight. It is gonna be awesome. We have a an inflatable obstacle course thing. That's going to be crazy. We have volleyball. We have free food. We have childcare, so all the young adult parents can say amen to that. It's going to be awesome. So I want to encourage you, don't come alone. Bring somebody with you. It's going to be great. We kick off at 5:45, and so we can't wait to see you. But right now, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Andrea, and she's going to take us into a time of tithes and offering.
And come on, saints, stand to your feet. Thank you for that welcome, but let's give Jesus praise. Let's give God the glory. Amen. Come on. Come on, come on, everybody, stand to your feet. You know what? It is an awesome privilege to be able to look out over you. Because when I look out over and I see you, I see people who are blessed. Amen? I see people who are outrageously blessed. I see people who've been blessed to be healed. People who've been blessed to be delivered. People who've been blessed with jobs and families and loved ones. When I look out over you, that's what I see. Amen? Anybody else in agreement? Amen. You are people who are blessed of God. Amen. And so in this time, we get an opportunity because we serve a God who's a giver. He's blessed us with each of you. Amen. And I want you to look at your neighbor on the left or the right and say, hey, I'm blessed with you. Thank you. You're such a blessing. Amen. Even if I haven't met you yet, you're still a blessing. Amen. And so today we get an opportunity to give back to our God who's given us so many blessings. Blessings of healing, blessings of salvation, blessings of family, blessings of friends. We get a chance to give him back what I call a little something something. Amen. So we're just going to give him back a tenth of what he's given us. Amen. So are you ready? Do you have your offerings ready? Amen. So praise and worship team, I know you're going to give me a little Deuteronomy 28, a little Fred Hammond, amen? We're going to go old school, amen? So come on, and come forth. We get to do this. We get to bless God with just giving him back a little bit of what he's given us. Come on, let's bless him. Let's bless him, and we give back to the one who's given us so much. Come on, you're blessed in the city. Come on. You're blessed in the city? Come on, say it. Yes, you're blessed in your store. Blessing your basket, intercessors. Amen. Now, the blessings of God have tripped you up. Amen. Because you are a child of God. So say, I'm blessed. Come on, I got to hear you. You're blessed. Come on forward. Come on, blessed in the city.
We're blessed in the field.
Come on, come
We're
on.
We're blessed when we come and when we go.
Amen.
We cast down every stronghold, sickness, and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness, and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Turn it around, it's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, it's gonna work in your favor. Yeah, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, it's gonna work in your favor.
Hallelujah. We're going to take a moment this morning. I have the awesome privilege of doing a child dedication today. I like child dedications. I've actually never done a child dedication, like actually done one. And so you guys get the, you know, privilege of being able to watch me do my first child dedication. So I'm usually the one that provides all the info and the background stuff. So if I can have the families that are dedicating their children today come on up and join me here at the altar, I'd appreciate it. Amen. James. Amen. Let's give it up for the Peltons. This is Corey and Brittany Pelton. He is our marketing guru. He's the man that puts all the videos together, makes things look really nice and good. And yeah, he gets to look at my face when I'm doing, you know, the video announcements. And bloopers. Oh my gosh. I'm not the greatest when it comes to getting through things the first time around. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like it takes you like 10, maybe 50 takes, something like that. He has great patience with me. Let me just say that. So this morning, obviously the child dedication, how we do it here at His Tabernacle, and as Pastor Spencer's always talking, it's never about the children. It's always about the family, the parents, grandparents, and those that are involved. And one of the biggest things is that when we do this, this is a time where what we do is we acknowledge that we're taking these children and we're saying, thank you, God, is there a gift, but we're giving them back to God for His work. Amen. So, you know, it's awesome being able to look at this family, and they have the new addition, Lucas. How many weeks old? He's already 3 weeks. It's amazing. So three boys. God bless you. So today, again, it's more about the parents. It's about how you're raising them. And, you know, sitting here and talking about it, you know, I remember dedicating my children, you know, my daughter and, of course, my son at a later time. But, you know, being able to invest in the children, you know, it's really powerful what we do. And in Proverbs chapter 22, the first verse, and this is a very, you know, famous scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And one thing is what way are we training them? What way are we developing them? Are we training them to run after Jesus or run from Jesus? And, you know, and I can say, thankfully, you guys are running to Jesus. You're wanting to fulfill His passions and His desires and obviously His destiny for your lives. And seeing these boys, I actually love, you know, I really, these kids come into the office sometimes and I like to play with them. So it's really fun and it's awesome. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. We don't know, you don't know the ultimate call and the plan of God for these boys, but God does. And we stay connected to a God that does. And that's the great thing is no matter what they're called to do, you know, the great thing is they have awesome parents that love Jesus and that are paving the way to show them the truth. The last verse and passage is Jeremiah 29:11. And again, it's famous. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, towards says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Today, we're going to dedicate you, Kai. Yay. He's so excited. Five. Yeah. James. Lucas. Yeah. He's out. Well, can we raise our hands to the family, the Peltons? Father, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you first and foremost, Lord God, for this couple. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak your anointing over them, Lord. Father, the destiny that they have on their lives, Lord God, the passions, Lord, even the what they have in desires of their hearts. Father, you said you'd give us the desires of our hearts. So, Father, I speak right now that you would cover them, surround them, the entire family with your angels. Bless them and keep them, Lord God, at each and every day that they serve you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I speak right now over Lucas. I declare, Father, that he is blessed going in and blessed going out. Father, I speak that nothing come against these children, against James or Kai, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray your blessing, your peace, your anointing, Father, that you're going to use them for your glory all of their days. Lord, even as a youth, Lord God, they're going to speak your name, Jesus. When they go into the schools, Lord God, they're going to speak the name Jesus and not be ashamed, Lord God, to speak the truth. That, Father, they can be soul winners and developers just like their parents. So, Father, right now, I speak your blessing over this family. I pray your anointing upon them, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give these boys to you for your use and your glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Awesome, awesome. I love this time. Pastor Cody, bring the word.
Microphones are very important in a room this size. Hey guys, we actually this morning just finished our conference recap video. Some of you don't know, we host something called Uproar Conference at the First Arena. And we just got the recap video done literally like late last night. Ben was working on it. And I wanted to show you guys so you can see what this house gets to do and what our investment gets to accomplish. So you guys can turn your attention to the screens, and we're going to play that video for you real quick, and then we're going to get right into the word.
When you really get hungry, you won't care about what anybody thinks about you.
The harvest is prepared and the harvest is plentiful. We just have to say, God, I'm here, I'm ready, use me.
Our generation will not be changed by the power of the Holy Ghost if we don't have people who are being led by the Holy Ghost.
You want to see your communities change and your schools change and this region change. It starts by you stirring up the gift that is inside of you. God has hearts prepared to come to him. God has set things in order already. People are ready to come to Jesus.
Man, it was an absolute blast this year. But I'm going to pray, and let's get right into the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. It's the word that changes and transforms us. It's the word that launches us. It's the word, Father. I thank you that you sent Jesus, your son, so that we can encounter you in new ways and in new levels. So, Father, today, let it be fresh, let it be new, and let it change us from the inside out. Let us get hungry for you and the things of your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, can I hear an amen from the back to the front? Amen. Hey guys, man, I'm so excited coming out of conference, so excited about the rest of the month and what's going on. But I've been looking and I've been praying, and really what I'm finding is a key in the kingdom of heaven, a key in the things of God. And we can cue up the PowerPoint, but a key in these things is hunger. A hunger for the things of God, a hunger for growth, a hunger for more of what Jesus has, because we can be saved right now. It could be today might be the day that you get saved, or you might have been saved for the last 40 or 50 years, but I know this one thing. I know that the hungrier you are for the things of God, he'll always meet you, he'll always match you, and he'll always give us what we're looking for. So today, we're going to talk about hunger, and it's crazy because I did a little bit of research and actually found out that the people that starve to death every year is about 11 million people starve to death every single year. And that's heartbreaking. But I started thinking about it. And how many Christians starve to death every single year? They're on fire for Jesus. They're excited about God and the things of God. But they end up starving to death because they never feed that hunger. I'm ready to get into this. Another man said it like this. His name was C.S. Lewis. He said, "We have a terrible concern about good taste." And if you want to talk about hunger, I think it's important to first define hunger, what it is and what it looks like in a real life setting. David, who wrote most of the Psalms, he said it in a couple different ways. And the first way he said it was in Psalm chapter 42. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. Literally, the Bible said he was a man after God's heart. His eyes were set on God and getting to God and getting after God. And he described it like this in Psalm chapter 41, verses 1 and 2. He said, "As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him?" He said, "As a deer pants for water, so I desire you. I want you, God. I need you, God. I desire the things of you." He continued and said it like this in Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. He said, "O God, you are my God." If he's your God, can I hear an amen out of your mouth? He said, "I earnestly search for you. My soul, it thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." He said, "I'm so desiring you. The world doesn't look like it can give me what I want. The world doesn't look like it can provide what I'm looking for. So God, it's you that I'm looking for. In this land that can't do it, I know you can do it, and I earnestly search for you." See, a hunger looks like a diligent search, an earnest search. And David personified this. It says in Psalm 119, verse 148, it says, "I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise." Man, the things we're hungry for, we're willing to give time to, we're willing to give effort to. When was the last time we stayed up praying all night? When was the last time we stayed up seeking after God, searching for the things of God? I was talking to one young man last night. He's been saved about 5 or 6 weeks. In that time, he's already read all the Gospels and started going through James, hungry for the things of God, searching out the things of God, asking about deeper revelation. Man, we need a hunger and a thirst for God. Psalm 42, verse 3, it says, "Day and night, I only have tears for food." Man, I'm searching day and night for food from heaven. I'm hungry for the things of God. If you want to talk about hunger, it looks like how David personified it. He said, "Where it's dry, I'm looking for you. When time is at matter, I'll stay up for you. God, it's you that I need. It's you that I desire. I have a hunger and a thirst for you." And I believe in this generation that right now, we need a hunger and a thirst for God like never before. There's things we can be hungry about. There's places we can be hungry about. Some people are hungry for other people. But I believe our greatest hunger needs to be for God and the things of his kingdom. Leonard Ravenhill, a revivalist, he said it like this. He said, "We don't have revival because we're simply okay living without it." Isn't that crazy? The only reason we don't have a mighty move of God is we're okay without it and we're okay with other things. It needs to start individually and boil over to a corporate thing. See, we can't look at the church and look around and be like, man, as if they got on fire for Jesus. You realize everyone might be saying that about you as well, might be saying that about me. It starts individual and it boils over to a corporate place. See, there's four positions of hunger that I want to talk to you about today. Four positions, and I believe we can have all four in our life simultaneously, but maybe one of them outweighs another in your life even today. But I want to get into these four, and the very first one, the first position of hunger is, how high will you go? How high will you go? Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 tells a story about a man named Zacchaeus. And if you grew up in church, you probably sang the song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he." Anybody remember that one? There we go. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector. A short tax collector. And he was a thief. But he heard that Jesus was coming into town. He heard that Jesus was showing up. And because he was short, he ran ahead of the crowds. Which literally, not only was he short, but he had to take twice the amount of steps. So he takes twice the amount of steps, gets in front of everybody else, finds a tree, and climbs up this tree so he can see Jesus. The story goes on. Jesus is walking through town and he sees Zacchaeus up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. We're going to have a meal together. They eat together. And no one knows what was said at that meal, but the response was he comes out and he's like, I've been a thief. I'm paying back double. I'm turning from my ways. I'm shifting who I am. Because of his hunger, he got to experience God. Because he was willing to go up a tree, to put himself out on a limb, to run in front of everybody, he was able to experience God. See, when was the last time you put yourself out so you could be recognized by Jesus? And the crazy thing is, he wasn't even doing it so Jesus would recognize him. He was doing it so he could see Jesus. He wasn't doing it so he could get a response. He was doing it so he could have an encounter on his own. So he could put himself in a position to see Jesus. My question is, when was the last time you put yourself in a spot that was out there that people would recognize you, but you did it because you were so hungry, so desiring, only to see Jesus? And when you do that, something crazy happens. You separate yourself from the crowd. Zacchaeus would have been looked over. He was short. He would have blended right in. Probably would have thought he was a child. Would have looked right by him. But because he was willing to climb that tree, to put himself out in front of everybody else, Jesus noticed him. See, sometimes we get mad at God because we don't feel like he notices us. But he's just waiting for yourself to put yourself out there, to climb up that tree, to put yourself in position to be seen by him. But the issue is, some of us will never do it because we have a title or people know us and we have a reputation. And I talk about this with teenagers, but it's for adults as well. Well, my employees would never respect me if they saw me act like this. Man, if our position in the world outweighs our desire for Jesus, we'll never have the Jesus that we say we want. Jesus has a greater reward than a man ever could give us. That could ever give us. A prominent man climbed a tree so he could see Jesus. What do you need to do to see Jesus? And when you get in a position to see Jesus, he'll always recognize you. He'll always recognize you. He didn't let his position, his title, his pride, he let nothing hold him back from seeing Jesus. He said, if anything else, I just need to see Jesus. Second position of hunger. It's not how high. Last service, I said, when was the last time you got high? We're going to move on from that. But the second position of hunger is how low will you go? So you can go high and low at the same time. How low will you go? And this is found in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38. And there's a woman named Mary. And Mary was literally a prostitute before this encounter. But Jesus had set her free from this issue. And one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet. She wiped them off with her hair, and she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on him. You want to talk about low? That's a position that's low. See, I think we need to see this real quick. When they would eat, they wouldn't sit at a chair like you guys are sitting on. They would sit like this at a little table and they'd eat. So Jesus is sitting at the Pharisee's house and they missed what was customary. They're supposed to give him a kiss on the cheek, wash his hands. And they actually got yelled at that at the end of the conversation. But what happened is Jesus is sitting and eating and this woman who was an immoral woman. See, it doesn't matter your position on morality right now in this moment. Jesus is willing to say, if you'll go low, I'll pick you up. I don't care where you are right now. It matters where you're going after these moments. But he's sitting here, and this immoral woman comes with this alabaster box full of expensive perfume. It was 1 year's worth of wages. It's expensive. Just imagine Jesus right now in this moment, man. He's sitting and eating, and he has a lid open up.
he smells something. And he feels perfume hitting his feet. It was probably pretty dirty. But she went so low. So low. Because, look, desperation for Jesus will always cause submission to Jesus. Will always cause submission to Jesus. Desperation for Jesus will also cause a sacrifice to be given to Jesus. It's our reasonable service to give our life as a sacrifice. With what Jesus did for me on the cross, man, it's only my reasonable service to give my life, to pour out things, to be in a place of submission, and to be in a place of laying things down, of sacrifice. See, how low will you go when you're hungry for Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about barrenness. I'm talking about brokenness. The church of the past has talked about barrenness, how it's this important thing and it's this vital thing and it will keep us humble and it keep them poor, keep them humble. That is foolish as heck. There's a big difference between barrenness and brokenness, because brokenness in front of Jesus is a fertilizer for future fruit. When you come to Jesus submitted, it's a fertilizer in your heart for God to do something. When you come to Jesus broken, it's a fertilizer for God to move in your life, to do things through your hands that you never thought were possible on your own. See, if you're barren, that means that you've done something wrong. Maybe it's you've forgotten about the grace of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. See, there's a big difference between barrenness and brokenness. Brokenness is not sorrow, it's gratitude. Not a bunch of Eeyore Christians running around, woe is me, everything is wrong. Shut up. Brokenness is gratitude for what Jesus did at the cross. And that's what we find in Mary's life right now. She said, I was immoral. Man, I was a prostitute. Jesus set me free. It was Jesus that did it for me. It was Jesus. And so my only response has to be gratitude. My gratitude will drive me low. My gratitude will drive me to his feet. Brokenness results in spending time with Jesus. And I think if we don't have fruit in the kingdom, maybe we haven't been broken by the King. What happened is the religious people did what they did. They started complaining again. They're annoying. And Jesus posed this question to them. He said, hey guys, let me ask you this. Who's going to have the most gratitude? Someone who has forgiven little or someone who has forgiven much? Has anybody in here been forgiven of much? And that's what he was saying. He said, stop your complaining that this woman is here broken in front of me and start to recognize that she's been forgiven much. And when she was forgiven much, she didn't forget what she was forgiven. A lot of Christians, we forget what we've been forgiven. And we need to remember what we've been forgiven. And because we get to this place of this weird religious place where we just walk around in this holier than thou. But if we could be like Mary and be at the feet of Jesus and remember what he did for us in a place of gratitude. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, we got to think about what he's done for me, how he set me free, how he set me apart. That will drive us to a place of brokenness, and you'll never be in a place of barrenness. And here's what's crazy when you go low in front of Jesus. I've been doing youth ministry for 8 years, and this is the best way I can describe it. We've gone to camp before, and I love camp, but this one thing I hate about camp is Axe body spray. Okay? This is what happens at camp. We got breakfast at 9, which isn't even early. And they'll sleep till like 8:53. But, well, I'm hungry. I don't have any time to shower, but I got a whole bottle of Axe. Shake it. Good. Good. Time for breakfast. That's camp in a nutshell right there, all right? You want to be a youth leader? Hit me up. That's camp in a nutshell. But you know what's crazy about that? A, you're nasty. Please take a shower, wash your pits. B, you stink. The girls aren't going to like it. You're nasty. All right. You wake up, you know you're nasty. Inside joke, I'm sorry. But here's the deal. You want to know about that camp? You want to know about those kids in that cabin? I know who slept in that cabin. Because they all come out smelling like a whole bottle of Axe. It's not a joke. This is real life, all right? Pray for me. Pray for me. You know what's crazy? If me and Pastor Dan come out of the same cabin, people are going to know I was in the same cabin as Pastor Dan, and Pastor Dan was in the same cabin as me. You know what happens when you're broken in front of Jesus? When you're pouring that alabaster box out on Jesus, people can tell you've been with Jesus, and they can tell that Jesus has been with you. There's a great reward for brokenness in the kingdom. Some of us got to throw some pride aside and remember what he did on the cross, the sins that he paid for, what he did for me, how he set me free. We can't get so far away from the cross that we end up confused about who we are and we're not broken with gratitude anymore. The second position of hunger is how low will you go? The third position of hunger, how loud will you be? We find this guy in Mark chapter 10. His name is blind Bartimaeus. We'll call him Bart. It's easier. And what happened with blind Bartimaeus is chapter 10 of the book of Mark 46 through 52. And this is what happened. Jesus and his disciples went to Jericho. And they were leaving. They were followed by a large crowd. A blind beggar by the name of Bart, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he shouted, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." Many people told the man to stop, but he shouted even louder, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," is what another version says. This is what happened. Imagine this. I got blind Bart sitting over here. Jesus is walking. And he heard, boom. His hunger got Jesus' attention. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him over." And he called out to the blind man and said, "Don't be afraid. He's calling you." Man jumped up, ran to Jesus. The blind man, Jesus said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to see." He said, "You may go. Your eyes are healed because of your faith." Right away, the man could see, and he went down the road with Jesus. See, sometimes we're too quiet about the Jesus that we try to say we're hungry about. People try to tell us to be quiet all the time. Oh, just another Christian posting. Just another thing saying, yeah, yeah, we heard that story. Yeah, we saw that. Yeah, yep, yep. We saw that, heard that, done that, been to that church. Yep, 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 yep. Stop being quiet about the things of God, what he's done in your life. You know what I know about the things of God and what he's done in my life? I know that I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. If I'm quiet about what he's done, no one's going to overcome. I'll stop overcoming if I forget what he's done. I can't be quiet about what Jesus has done to me. My praise is a pathway to his presence. I can't be quiet. I'm hungry for his presence. I'm hungry for Jesus. I desire the things of God. I want to get God's attention. I got to get loud for Jesus. Sam, come here real quick. Ladies, this is Sam. He's single. You got to ask me first. He said, "Praise God." Okay, this is Sam. This is one of my favorite Bible college students. He also plays on the keys. Now, Sam is extremely talented, and we really honor him for what God has placed inside of him. But Sam gets picked on a lot. Rightfully so. It's his fault, okay? It's his fault. Sam is the kind of person you can go out to eat and be like, man, these ribs are good. He's like, taste and see that the Lord is good. He'd be like, dang, man, my feet hurt. These dress shoes are killing me. He said, beautiful are the feet that bring the gospel. Hey! Everything you say, Sam brings it back to Jesus every single time. And look, we pick on him and it's funny and he takes it well sometimes, but it's hilarious and I love it and I respect him for it because everything out of Sam's mouth is louder and louder and louder about Jesus. I'm taking applications for his marriage. But here's the question, guys. Sam is loud as heck about Jesus, but what are you loud about? What comes out of your mouth the most? What's on your social media the most? What do you complain about the most? Because what you're loud about the most is what you're hungriest for. What you're loud about indicates your level of hunger and what you're hungry about. Third one, how hungry, how loud will you be? And the fourth one is powerful, how desperate will you get? In Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, we find this woman who had an issue of blood. The Bible says she spent all of her money, she went to all the doctors, and she couldn't find anybody that could fix her. She got sick of it. She knew that Jesus was coming into town, so she snuck into the crowds behind him, and she touched the edge of his garment. And when she touched the edge of his garment, she got healed because her hunger drove her to find what could truly fulfill her. See, what happened is she had to break through culture because at that moment of time, that moment of history, she could have been stoned for going out into public with her issue of blood because it could have got other people sick and it could have injured others as well. But she said, I'm so hungry, I'm so desperate for a touch from God. I don't care what my culture says. I'm going to break out of my culture. I'm going to break out of the expectations, and I'm getting to Jesus. See, the culture you subscribe to is the culture you can partake of. The culture that you prescribe to is what you can have in life. You can have the bar culture, but you gotta take whatever else it's gonna give you. Church, you can have the lukewarm culture, but you're gonna have to take whatever it gives you. What I love about this house, to brag on you guys, not the pastoral staff, to brag on you, this house, this body, we had a young lady come to church here last week with her parents for the first time. They normally go somewhere out about an hour away where they live. And they came here just kind of residual after conference. And she was driving away and I was talking to her mom. She said, as we were driving away, she said, I really liked that church. She's like, really? Tell me why. She said, it's because they're alive. Man. We got a hungry church. We got a church that wants the things of God. But whatever culture you're a part of is what you can have. And if you're not happy with where you are, maybe you should step out. If you're not happy with the culture that you're living in, maybe you should step out of it, just like the woman with the issue of blood. How desperate are you? How desperate, how hungry are you for the things of God? How far are you willing to go? She went to a dangerous place. She could have died. She could have died. What's crazy about these four positions of hunger? One was high. One was low. One was loud. One was desperate. You can have all four at one time. You can have all four positions of hunger at one time. But if you're not hungry, what's happening in your life? You know the only difference between a swamp and a stream is movement. Hunger drives movement. Hunger drives us forward. Hunger drives us closer to God. Hunger makes us grow in the things of Jesus. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Anybody remember that one as a kid? If you didn't grow up a Christian, you definitely don't know. But I had this ingrained. I was brainwashed as a kid. They said, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing and I want you to stay. But he said, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. When we stop getting hungry for Jesus, our relationship with him turns into a swamp. We start to grow some funky things. We start to have some things choked out. We start to stink. What's your relationship look like with Jesus? Are you hungry? And here's the encouragement. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Not might be filled, not could be filled. You shall be filled. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says it like this. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Look, he's a rewarder and he's a filler. He's a rewarder and he's a filler. He's a rewarder and he's a filler. I need you to recognize you're not going to go hungry if you start to get hungry for Jesus. If you get hungry for Jesus, he's a filler and a rewarder. You start to seek out Jesus, he's not going to leave you empty. He's going to reward you with himself. But what's crazy is this very fact. It doesn't say he'll make us hungry for him and he'll fill us. It says those who hunger. We decide our hunger. He didn't say, those who I make start searching for me, I will reward them. He said, those who diligently seek me, those are the ones that'll be rewarded. See, it's our level of hunger that we have to decide and we have to take ownership of. You can run as fast as you want, but please recognize the faster you run, the quicker you're going to get filled. The quicker you're going to grow, the faster you're going to go. The Lord also said, taste and see that the Lord is good. But what we do all the time is we wait and see. And when we try to wait and see, we'll keep waiting and seeing. Some people, they come into church and stand in the back and like, well, God, this is your last chance. You don't show up today, I'm done. Stand. Worship's done, didn't feel them. I'm waiting. The word, still waiting, not under there. But he didn't say wait and see. He said taste and see. And this thing I know about eating, because I love food. I cannot sit at my plate and wait and see. I gotta get my fork. I gotta stab into that big old steak. And I gotta bring it to my mouth. I have to taste in order to see that the Lord is good. He's done it. He's just waiting on us to taste. Man, how many of us, even sitting here today, we're just waiting and seeing. Like, well, God, that looks good. He's saying, just take a bite, dude. It's yours. Just take a bite. It's prepared. It's ready. It's medium rare because that's gospel. Taste and see that I'm good. And we're waiting. Getting almost like a stalemate with God. He's like, it's done. Just take a bite. No, put it in my mouth, God. No, you taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Our task is to engage heaven. Here's the crazy thing. One of the names of God in the Old Testament was Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. He's here waiting for us to taste and see. He already did his work. He already paid for that on the cross. He already bought access for us. Now we have to take responsibility to taste and see. We also need to recognize that natural things will never fulfill what we're searching for. It's never in the natural what we can get. It's not the bachelorette. It's not that season premiere that comes on at 9 p.m. It's not the bar league. It's not that woman that you're about to sleep with when you got a wife. It's none of those things. I'm just being real, right? I hate fake church. It's stupid. Why come? You know, fake church, there's other ones. So you can go there. I want to be real. I want real freedom. I want real Jesus. I want real change. I want real. We all want real. Everyone wants real. The biggest complaint I hear about church is, oh, they're fake. I'll be real. This is what happened. In John chapter 8, Jesus stands up at a festival, a religious festival. On the last day of the festival, it was like 3 days, like the third day, they'd been eating and they're full. Like, and Jesus stands up and says this crazy thing. He said, yo, if anyone hungers and thirsts, I'm right here. Yep. Or what do you mean? They've been eating for like 2.5 days. How can they be hungry? But he wasn't talking about natural food. He was talking about spiritual. Natural things can never fulfill us. It's only Jesus Christ that can fulfill us. And he's saying the same thing today. Hey, if you're hungry, you're thirsty, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm calling you. I love you. I'm waiting for you to taste and see that I'm good. Taste and see. Here's what happens too. We start to live by emotions and not by truth. When a lot of people don't feel close to God, they get this emotion and say, well, God must not care, or God must not love me like he loves them. Well, it must be my time to go and find other things that can fulfill me. Please stop, man. Look, emotions are good. Emotions are from God. But emotions should not determine what the truth is in your life. Emotions are simply an indicator of your current position. If in your current position you feel far from God, please don't wait and see, but decide to taste and see that the Lord is good. Please don't stand and blame God and be upset. That's not it at all. Literally, it's an indicator that God is calling you and you need to stir up some hunger. You need to maybe get low and go back to the place that you found him. Get back to the cross. Get back to gratitude. Maybe you need to climb up that tree. Maybe you need to get loud about the things of God. Maybe you need to get desperate for a touch from Jesus. But if you feel far from God, please close the gap. Please stir up a hunger inside of yourself and go get what you need. When you get hungry, you get filled. It's very simple math. When you get hungry, you get filled. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching his guys how to pray. And he was going through the Lord's Prayer, is what we call it. And one part of it says, ask God this. Give us this day our daily bread. See, we need an everyday meal to sustain us. We got to be hungry every day. I like fast once a week, but I promise you, as soon as I'm done fasting, I crack into some food because I am hungry. But he prepares a meal for us every single day. And the food of the kingdom, the food of God, those spiritual things, that hunger, what we're searching for, that fulfillment, that freedom, that truth, that love, that peace, that joy, those things that we're searching for are prepared fresh every single morning. That mercy is new every single morning. It's not like Old Country Buffet giving week old chicken. He's got a fresh meal every single day. He's got it brand new every single morning. Look, I've been teaching my youth team. I've been teaching the teenagers this year. Every day should be your best day in Jesus. It's not that profound, but it's absolutely truth. Every day should be your best day in Jesus. There's this thing called daily personal revival. And you have daily personal revival when you get hungry every single day for the things of God. But when we skip a meal, we gotta wait till the next day. So many times we miss moments. We miss the things that God's laid up for us. We got to get hungrier for the things of God than the things of the world. We'll put God on hold to watch a show. We'll put God on hold because we got to do this, or we got to do this, or we got to do that, or we got invited here. Man, we can't put God on hold. We got to get hungry for the things of Jesus. We got to get absolutely enamored with Jesus. We got to go high. We got to go low. We got to get loud. We got to get desperate. I don't know what it is, but it's Jesus that we need, and it's Jesus that I want. And it's not this is not a salvation message. This is a message for those who are mature and they're starting to turn into a swamp. You need to get hungry so you can get that fresh river flowing again. You need to get hungrier than you've ever been before. Hungrier than the first day you got set free of that depression or that pornography addiction. Hungrier than you've ever been before. As hungry as it was that first day, as grateful as you were, as high as you used to go, as loud as you used to be, but even on a greater depth. That's what we need. We need more of Jesus. We need a greater hunger for Jesus. It's got to grow. It's got to be more. It's got to grow. We got to go deeper. We got to have more. The crazy thing is we can always have more of Jesus. found this amazing quote by Henry Thoreau, and he said it like this. He says, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. See, those steps you're taking. You know what's crazy is all four of those people, Zacchaeus, man, the religious and the Pharisees were mad that Jesus was going with him. Mary, they got mad again because of how hungry she was. Bartimaeus, they told him to be quiet. The woman with the issue of blood, she could have died. All of these people's hunger had some sort of opposition. But they decided, I don't care about the opposition. I don't care what they say. I don't care what it makes me feel. I don't care how far it makes me go. I need Jesus. If anyone or anything holds you back from your hunger and getting closer to Jesus, it needs to be removed from your life. Look, if you're not married yet and you got someone in your life that's trying to get you out of church, that's trying to remove you from the things of the kingdom, run the other direction. Because what do you think is going to happen when you get married? It was free. You know what? Have you ever seen someone that didn't eat for like a week? They like put their arm over their plate almost and just start scooping, and they'll look up like, I wish I had that Ezekiel Elliott video. I messed up him eating cereal. Anybody see that? He was like, literally, he looking up angry, like, I'm protecting my food. You're not touching this food. We need to protect what God has prepared for us. We got to stop letting people steal what God has placed in front of us. We can't just be okay with having a couple bites. We got to get after what Jesus has laid out for us because that's what we actually need. And the crazy thing is, the kingdom of heaven never runs out of food. I was talking about it in first service. Pastor Palco has two twin boys that are like 14 years old. I promise you, they put a hurt on that monthly food bill. They try to eat that poor woman out of house and home. She'll never go poor. She's blessed. But those boys put food down. What would it look like in our lives if we decided, you know, I'm going to try to eat God out of house and home. I'm going to get so hungry. I'm going to take all that I can get. I'm going to raid that fridge morning, noon, night. I'm going to get all that I can get of God. I'm going to get so hungry. I'm going to get so hungry. And look, it's not like natural food. You can't actually get full. The more you eat of Jesus, the more you consume of the kingdom, the hungrier you get. Maybe we need to get hungry. Maybe we don't need another plan. Maybe we don't need another class. Maybe we need a greater hunger for the things of God. Maybe we need to open our Bible more. Maybe we need to get here for 7:15 prayer. Maybe it's the fact that we need to get on the prayer line at 6:15. Maybe we need to record that show and spend time with Jesus. Maybe we need to go to a group. I don't know what it is, but I believe we need to get hungry for Jesus again. We don't have revival because we're okay without it. We just need to get hungry for Jesus, man. Remember the first time that you got saved? How full your heart was of gratitude for what Jesus did? Why would we ever leave that place? Remember the first time you put yourself out on a limb? Remember the first time you started getting loud about Jesus? Didn't care what anybody else said? Remember when you got so desperate in that situation that you started just running after Jesus? And every time he met you where you were at. That's what he's about. And that's what we need in our lives. That's what we need in the church. Man, I want to win this region back. There's 83,000 people. I don't believe 800 on a Sunday is enough. But we need to get hungry for God on our own. We need to get hungry for God on our own. I don't know what you need to do personally. Maybe you need to go high. Maybe you need to go low. Maybe you need to be loud. Maybe you need to get desperate. But whatever it is, you need to get hungry. Because it's hunger that drives us forward and keeps us from turning into a swamp. Every day with Jesus should be your best day with Jesus. We should encounter this thing called daily personal revival. We should read our Bible every day. Pray every day. We'll grow, grow, grow. We'll grow, grow, grow. God has growth, not regression. We need hunger. We need a hunger. We need a hunger in our heart for the things of God. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you don't serve Jesus right now. Maybe you've walked away or you've never given your life to Him. And I said something today that struck your heart. Man, it's Jesus that loves you. It's Jesus that died on a cross for you. It's Jesus that paid the ultimate sacrifice to wash our sin away. He did it because He cares. He did it because He wants to spend eternity with you. He created you for relationship. He desires to have that relationship with you. If that's you in this place, saying, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way. He's the only one. If that's you in this place, saying, I need to get right. I've walked away, or this is my first time. Can you just go ahead and wave your hand at me? I'm ready to give my life fully to Jesus. Go ahead and wave your hand at me. If this is your morning, this is your morning to get right with Jesus. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Any more? Come on, now's your moment. Today's the day. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. This is the best decision you can ever make. This is what you've been searching for your whole life. Amen. In the back. This is what you need. This is the key. This is what you've been looking for. His name is Jesus. You guys can go ahead and stand to your feet. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to take one bold step. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and make your way up front. I want to meet with you. I want to pray with you real quick. Saying, yeah, that's a little bit bold, but I promise maybe it's the person next to you. If you're not comfortable, grab the person's hand next to you and say, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Come on, go ahead and put your hands together for them. That's the best decision they could ever make. The best thing they could ever do is to give their life to Jesus. Come on, I want to pray with you. If you're still in this place, don't leave. You're not done. Come on. Come on, there's a couple more hands. The best decision you could ever make is to get right with Jesus. Awesome. Man, this is the best thing you could ever do. Jesus loves you, man, so much He left heaven. I just want to pray with you, and we're going to just repeat after me, and then you guys are going to go over with Mindy. It's my wife. She's awesome. And she's going to give you a Bible, and we're going to follow up with you because we love people. Look, here's the best way I can describe it. Someone's not going to have a baby and just leave them at the house all alone all week. That would be weird and really disrespectful, and the child would probably die. We want to give you the things you need to grow in Jesus. This is the best decision, but it's the first decision. And from now on, it's just greater, greater, more and more and more. God's going to do some amazing things in your life. Some absolutely amazing things. We want to teach you and show you the way. That's what family's about. Let's go ahead and pray together. Everyone in this place, we can all join in prayer. We're just going to repeat this prayer, and you guys are going to go right with my wife, Mindy. Dear Heavenly Father, today I give my life to you. I turn from sin, and I turn all the way to you. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross, and you rose 3 days later. Thank you. I love you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for them. You guys are going to go right here with my wife, Mindy. Go ahead, guys, right over here with my wife, Mindy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, God loves you. Everybody else in this place, you know what I know about hunger? Is it's a lot like intimacy. Intimacy is something that's created. If you don't have intimacy with your spouse, you'll simply turn into a roommate. You have to make a decision for intimacy so you don't turn into a roommate with your spouse. A lot of people have a roommate relationship with Jesus because they've walked away from hunger and they've walked away from intimacy. If that's you this morning and you say, I need an increase of hunger. I need to be hungrier for Jesus. Look, I don't care if you're the person in this room that's most excited for Jesus. There's still room for more. If that's you in this place today, I want an increased appetite. I want increase. In a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand. But let me explain something to you real quick. To get hungry, you have to force feed yourself. I started a meal plan a while back, and it's supposed to be 6 meals a day. Clearly, I'm off of it right now. But it's supposed to be 6 meals a day, and day one, I ate my second meal. I was like, I cannot eat another bite. I will throw up. Day two, I got to meal three, and I was like, I'm going to die. I'm going to explode. Day three, I got to meal four, and I thought I was going to die and explode. But on day four, something happened. I ate my third meal, and 20 minutes later, I was starving. Like, I was about to eat my own arm off. I was so hungry. See, if you want to get hungrier for the things of God, you need to force feed yourself the things of God. Because your spirit man isn't going to want to, your body's not going to want to do it, but you got to force feed your spirit so it has a greater appetite. See, you might not want to read your Bible tonight, but you got to make a decision. No, I'm on a diet, and my diet says I got to eat this, no matter how I feel. See, we need to ascribe to a new diet. I'm sick of seeing 11 million people die of hunger every single year, but I'm more sick and tired of seeing Christians die because they don't feed their appetite. Let's get hungry for the things of God again. If you're in this room and you're saying, you know what, I need to get hungrier. I need to get hungrier. I need to go high. I need to get low. I need to get loud. I need to get desperate. I want you to put your hands up above your head. And with your hands up above your head, I want you to flood this altar real quick. I want you to flood this altar real quick. If you're going to get desperate, you can flood an altar. If you're going to get loud, you can flood an altar. Say, I'm hungry for Jesus. I'm hungry for the things of God. If you're a minister in this house, just come on up. If you're a minister and a pastor, come on up. We're going to worship for a second. I'm going to release the pastors. We're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to pray this simple prayer. Father, put a hunger inside of them. That's all we're going to pray. Put a hunger inside of them. Put a diligent seeking in their heart. Because if you can get hungry and you can get a diligent seeking, you will be rewarded and you will be filled. We're going to have Pastor Dan, any other ministers, Jody, you can come on up. Mindy, go ahead. Mackenzie, your team's got this. You can lay hands on some folks. Come on, if you're a minister in this house, we're going to lay hands. Well, go ahead. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to sing this together real quick. We're going to worship. God's going to move in your life. God's going to touch you. He's going to increase your appetite right now. He's going to wet your whistle, as the old people would say. He's going to give you more. He's going to give you a greater hunger. It's about an increased hunger today. It's about an increased appetite today. I'm going to play a blanket prayer, and then we're going to worship, and God's going to do it. Father, increase our appetite. Drive us high, bring us low. Make us loud, make us desperate. Whatever it is, Father, meet our appetite today. Increase us today. Give us more. Give us more of you. Give us a greater. We're still hungry. Here we are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship.